Welcome to Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White. I'm Hardy White. I'm here to help you by telling you what you're looking at. But I could be wrong, because I don't know what I'm looking at. But it's nice to not know what we're looking at together. And I'll just tell you what I feel. And you just feel it. Does that sound good? The Lost World. Let me take you to the Lost World. First, we should know who the characters are. If you're going anywhere, you should know who populates that place. And not just who they are, but who they are pretending to be. So, for instance, someone could in one world be Bull Montana, in the other be Ape Man, or Austin, Finch Smiles. So it helps to know who we are looking at to figure out what they are doing. So if we sort of know that we are in a newspaper office in the past, another type of lost world, a newspaper world lost to us, with old men sitting around dimly lit tables covered with papers, angry because they seek a certain truth, but a truth that corresponds to their own vision of the world and not to those of those who would challenge it. So it's the challengers that throw them off. And they need to know more so that they can assert their worldview. And they sit around these tables arguing with one another how to confront the things that they don't know about. Who should we send? That's the way they did it in the old times. They'd sit around and had these desks, roll-top desks, because they had to cover the desks. It's like a piano. You want to cover the piano keys. Why? Why is that? Because something could get on them. Like, let's say that you are standing next to a cub reporter, and you're sitting at your desk, and you have all your papers on there, and he, in his enthusiasm to get a new job, spills some ink all over the place. You didn't have your roll-top down. And now your vision of the future has been obscured by someone else's mistake. That's the way it is just living with people. Sometimes they spill ink on your stuff. But the old men who run things look at that and think, maybe this fella is expendable. We have sent those out to the challenger before and they have not returned. Perhaps we should send someone who impedes our progress here. In the field, we wouldn't miss him, but if he does hit his mark, then we have won. So they like to manipulate people like that. It's probably the glasses they wore. They wore those glasses that just sit on your nose like that, the pince-nez or something. They pinch your nez up. And so it's got to hurt after a while, right? You know, not having the things behind your ears that keep your glasses on. But eyesight is like that. You can't see perfectly. You can't see any world perfectly. Oh, Hardy, tell me what I'm looking at. I don't know. I don't know what I'm looking at half the time. Well, tell me what's happening. I certainly don't know what's happening. I can kind of tell you what I see. But better than that, I can tell you what I feel. And that's probably more accurate. And that's as close as I'm going to get to the real world as possible. The rest of the world is lost to me. Lost like I was in an old building, one of those old museums or something with bones. Bones of dinosaurs. And that's how we know the past. We find its remains scattered among things, among the dirt, among the useless. And we try to reassemble it and say, this must be what it looked like. We have these pieces of the story. We have these bones. We have these vertebrae. Books are like that. We find books. And we say, these books are from the past. Perhaps we can take them and make these books, which are like vertebrae, into a spine. And you say, well, a book already has a spine. And I say, well, I beg your pardon. When we walk through museums like that, it's as if they are houses of worship in a way. We see things that are mysterious, that are from other worlds, and we are looking for answers, and sometimes they're written on a little plaque there. And the little plaque sometimes challenges our worldview, and other times corresponds with it. That's why our view of dinosaurs have changed over the years, because we didn't always know what we were looking at. Challenger has made himself a public laughingstock by his tale about live dinosaurs. Dinosaurs are gone. That's what we know from the bones. The worlds that are lost forever. The past is always gone. There's no getting it back. You could tell me all day that Abraham Lincoln was at the Denny's, and I would say, well, that's probably an Abraham Lincoln lookalike, but I doubt it's Abraham Lincoln. And even if he was alive, I don't know. Would he be eating there? I don't know. I don't know his taste. We don't know that much about Lincoln. I take it on faith that he lived at all. I have a penny with his picture on it, but I don't know if that's really him. You know how sometimes pictures of people like Lincoln turn up on toast or burnt wood? So who knows? Maybe that's the original Lincoln. Maybe there was no person. But we have the books, Hardy. We have the bones. I'm just telling you what I see. I'm sure reality is different than my perception of it. I go around with a clouded view of it, with my eyes half open, like I'm watching an old silent film. I only get part of the story. The rest, well, I gotta make up. And if I look away for a minute, and I look back, and I see two people talking in front of a dinosaur tail, I don't know what's going on. And I gotta kind of fill in the pieces for myself until I'm given more information. Are you giving me more information, Hardy? I don't think so. I'm giving you more information. Whether it will lead to any answers, I do not know. So people sit around and they're waiting for a professor to speak because they really believe this person is going to give them some answers. Owing to lack of proofs, this society cannot sponsor the challenger's statements, but is glad to afford him his opportunity to state his case. That's the way I feel. I feel as if I am a mad scientist who's telling you that dinosaurs are alive, that I have seen them. And you say, harumph, harumph, harumph. Surely that cannot be, when I know of the world does not include dinosaurs. And if I tell you I saw them, I might not be lying. Maybe I did see them. I know I feel things that maybe others don't feel. It doesn't make them false. Oh, here the challenger now stands on a stage before the doubters. No wonder he's angry. They're yelling at him. Produce the lost things that you say. I will, if any of you spineless worms are brave enough to go back with me into the trackless jungles where these monsters live. You see, but few people are willing to do that. If I told you that I was experiencing certain emotions, that I was experiencing certain visions, you might laugh at me and I say, well, perhaps you don't have the courage to enter those realms, those dark realms of the soul where those things reside. Maybe you cannot see or experience them because you are not willing to go into those unknown jungles, to risk everything, and those that we would have risked their lives and souls and sanity to do so are always the expendable. Let us send the clumsy reporter who spills ink upon important papers instead of ourselves, who are content with the world that they already know. And so the wild man, visionary, intellectual, those who search for real truth beyond what is obvious, beyond the observable world, they look crazy. They are called liar and fraud. I'll show you, they say. I'll show you. And they pull out some pad under their armpit and write things furiously down. Say, what are you doing? I don't know. I'm making notes for later. And then you're going to go off and do something later with those armpit notes. That's what I do. I'm always making little notes about things to do later, or little thoughts. You know, when I was coming here to speak to you, I thought to myself, what are characters? And I thought, people are not just who they are, but they're also playing roles, many, many roles. I'm not the first to say that. I'm playing a role. But is it important for you to know who the actor is? And what the actor does when the actor is not pretending to be a scientist who nobody believes. Oh, challenger, I will go with you. Come with me. Are you really going to come with me? Yes, Hardy, I want to go with you. Look, thank you. See, it's not going to be that bad. I mean, the only thing that you could lose is your reputation, your mind, some time, maybe all of it. I don't know. But you're very brave to want to come with me. Even if you want to come with me to prove me wrong, I don't mind that. That leads to the truth. A good scientist, and I am not one, but if I were one, I would welcome challenges to my theories. Of course, that's how science works. Peer review. You're my peer. Come on, review me. You know, if we're trying to get to the truth, I understand that. I personally am not up for review because who knows? Who knows who I am? I don't know. So even if you told me I was someone different than I thought I was, I'd really have no way to understand or perceive that. So let's leave. Let's leave these marble buildings. Let's leave these temples to partial knowledge. Because that's what they are. All libraries are wonderful. I love them. But they don't contain the sum total of truth or knowledge. They contain fragments of experience. That's what they are. These books, these bones, they've done something. Just a little piece. A vertebrae doesn't do everything. Say, vertebrae, what was it like to eat an early fern or a cycad? Maybe, I don't know, brontosaur, allosaur. I don't know my dinosaurs. They changed the names, too. Oh, vertebrae, what was it like to eat a cycad or a fern or something like that? And the vertebrae would say, I do not know. I am not, alas, I am not a tooth. But not really alas, because I got this spinal cord on my back. I feel important. It's very important. It's like a cable. It's like the cable that runs under the sea that connects the internet. And so I've got signals that I get from the brain and from up on the teeth area, so I can tell you what they feel. And when they eat that cycad, there's a little bit of a tingle, a little bit of a shiver in the spine. I don't know if it's excitement. I don't know if it's pleasure. I don't know if it's fear that somehow this plant might induce some sort of state, disease, maybe even euphoria. But not knowing, boy, that can be scary. Sometimes we actually have to sneak into places to figure out what's going on. And I believe that there's someone, as we speak, sneaking into the office of the challenger. Now, what's going to happen when that happens? He's there to confirm about it. I think it's the reporter. The reporter has snuck into the office of the professor. And he's saying to them, I'm going to go with you. I'm going to go with you. I'm unafraid. That's what I am. I'm a reporter. I'm a journalist. And so what does the professor do but strangle him, put his arms around his throat, and they engage in a wrestling match. They do some what I feel like is 1920s jiu-jitsu, and they go rolling down the stairs like John Wick 2, right out into the open, the professor and the reporter. And the professor's butlers stand there going, what's going on? What's going on? And all of a sudden, they all get up, and it's like the indistinguishable from the Three Stooges. But what it really is an intellectual argument. This man attacked me, says the reporter. Who is this man? Do you give him in charge, sir? I don't know what that means. Say, no, I don't think I'm going to give him in charge because I actually crawled through his window. Say, oh, now you're giving me the whole story. See, the whole story isn't just that we attack those who challenge us, but sometimes those who challenge us have come into an area where they have no business, your heart. When someone says to you, oh, you shouldn't be feeling that, you know, feeling that, you go, oh, my goodness, thank you for the help, but don't tell me what to feel. You know, my heart is my heart. The way I see the world is the way I see the world. And I will die eventually. But, boy, if you spend all that time working to change my mind or to get me to, that's okay. But if you get me to deny my own feelings, I think you've crossed the line. You've snuck into my library. You've snuck into my home through a window. And, of course, I'm going to be angry. You know, but ultimately, we need each other if it's done in love. If you help me see the world a little better, a little clearer, that's what I try to do. I can't tell you what to do or what to see. I can't tell you how to interpret something that you see. All I can tell you is what I feel, and maybe that will help you go to a place where you can feel something similar if you want to. You know, that's all I'm saying. Not that your feelings are wrong or the things you think are wrong, but come into my jungle. And look at the possibilities and look at the unknowns. Then tell me. Then tell me what you think is going on. Oh, there's other factors here when we're getting ready to go on an expedition, let's say. So let's say we're sitting around a room, you and I, the reporter and the challenger. Let's just call this basically the two type of people. Oh, I don't know. We're all reporters and challengers at some point. We're all professors and newsmen at some point. And so we're sitting around a room, and a gentleman comes in, and he's obviously a gentleman. And we greet him, and we are not sure why he's here. Now, I believe the challenger and the professor are sure why he's here. But all I know is there is a handsome, wealthy gentleman standing between these two. How do I know he's wealthy and handsome? He is wearing a scarf or a sort of ascot. That is a very handsome, wealthy thing to do. I don't know why. Those of us who are not handsome or wealthy, sometimes if our necks are cold, just kind of throw one around. But the rich, they take great care in tucking their scarf into their tuxedo jacket. And I don't know where they play into this story. I don't know what the story is. Again, I don't know what I'm watching. I can be told what I'm watching. Do you ever get like a ceremony? You're going to a ceremony, a wedding, and you say, you are watching a wedding. Not long ago, I went to a wedding of a different tradition than I was used to. So I've been to a Hindu wedding, and it goes on very long. Friends were getting married, and they said, please come to our wedding. And the wedding was very, very long. And I sat there for a while, and I watched it, and I knew it was a wedding, but I didn't know what I was watching. Not exactly. And I could sit and tell you what I saw. Oh, they just wrapped a rope around their hands. They just burnt something in a little fire or something. But I couldn't tell you why. Couldn't tell you what was being said. And I certainly couldn't tell you what they felt. So all I could say are vague details that I have seen as well as emotions I felt. And this is what I felt. I felt, gosh, love and our bonds are interesting in that they are at the same time mystical and boring. Because if we spend our days together, there are times that are not stimulating or interesting or out of the ordinary. But then they're punctuated by things that are so beyond our ken, so mysterious, things that we do where the miraculous springs out of the ordinary. So when I tell you that the past is still alive somewhere, literally, you might want to believe me. And at the very least, what you should want is to come with me. So I say, come on this journey with me. All right, Hardy, where are you taking us? I'm listening to you. I know you are, and I don't take that lightly. I am never going to take you on a journey where I just walk you around in a circle like that. Oh, no, never. I might lead you somewhere that doesn't seem to have a point. We might go through the museum and then immediately out the back door of the museum into an alleyway. Then I might take you down the street a little way, and then I might say, can we stop here for noodles? And you go, yes, you can definitely stop here for noodles. Now, I don't know if that's going to upset you. Some people go, oh, noodles, I don't know if I can handle that. Because it's not consistent with what they thought was going to be a museum experience. But it is. Everything is. It's the state of mind you have. It's whether you have your eyes open. I love talking to you this way. I love talking to you this way because you might have expectations. But those of you who don't are going to have the real experience. Oh, trust me. That's all I ask. Trust me and come with me. We might discover something. You know, when you go into the woods and you go out in a walk like that, now everything is sort of just intrinsically miraculous and wonderful. Trees are. But not everything is going to be surprising or engaging. Sometimes you're just going to walk along that forest path and say, oh, those trees are nice. I feel a certain way. Every once in a while, you may see a strange creature. You may see something happen that's interesting or extraordinary. A tree has fallen, created a natural bridge, and on that bridge, there's a raccoon. And the raccoon is wearing, I don't know where he got it, but some sort of St. Patrick's Day hat, one of the tiny little plastic ones, and he's just walking around, and it's not clear whether he's partying, it's not clear whether he stuck his head in something and got the hat stuck on it, but all I know is there was a raccoon with a St. Paddy's Day hat dancing on a log bridge. And you get one of those, maybe, per trip. One of those. And if the walk through the woods is your lifetime, then maybe you get one experience with a raccoon wearing a plastic hat. Something you can't explain, but something that makes you feel extraordinary. Something that you must share constantly. Like stories. Like movies. Like plays. Like poetry. Like songs. I gotta get it out of my system. Oh, Hardy. I'll follow you. All right. I'm putting together the team. We gotta put together a team. Any kind of journey like that, you gotta have somebody that does everything. So I would be taking the professor first, the challenger. And then he knows where we're going. So we sort of have to take him. Because he goes, I've been to the place of the dinosaurs. I have journeyed to the lost world. And then you must take somebody who can record it objectively, who says, I have no expectations. I'm going to go in there and I'm going to see what truth there is. And then you want to take maybe, I don't know, your niece or something. Just so you'll have something to be afraid of. Not that the niece isn't capable, but she's really no desire to go. I think, well, I'll go, I guess. I don't know. I'm curious. So you take the niece and maybe a rich man because resources. And he has so much money that his curiosity is going to kill him. A lot of us can't die from our curiosity because our lack of means. But boy, if I had a mini sub, I think the peril of the world would increase for me. Oh, it's time to go. It's almost time to go. And we're finally going to get proof. You're going to come away with me. You say, I'm going to come with Hardy White. I've never heard him before. Someone said, you should go with him. I'm skeptical. That's good. Get out that pad. Take that pad out of your armpit and get ready to write things down. Because something is going to be interesting. Something is going to be new. And so we paddle into the dark jungles on a boat made of half a tree, or I don't even know, maybe compressed ramen. Not the good kind, the dried kind. And there are dangers everywhere because we are no longer in our world. And you have to understand that. You say, oh, the jungle is so threatening. Jungle is what it is. It's threatening because it's not your home. Any place would be threatening. I've traveled the world, and some places I'm in, I'm very lost and confused about what to do. That could be dangerous. If I don't know where to go and what to do, if I don't know which side of the road to drive on, if I don't know where to stand, I could be hit by a train, or I could, anything, a number of things could happen. So I'm standing in this beautiful ravine. I go, well, that's going to flood in about 2 seconds, and if you were from here, you would know that. And so we take our canoes down dark rivers. And even the monkey is terrified. We have a little monkey holding him against his will. And the monkey is frightened. And there are snakes hanging off of trees. He said, go around that tree. It's got a snake hanging from it. There are sloths, the kind that get on your back. The literal kind and the figurative kind. And the literal kind aren't super scary. But often the figurative kind, the kind where you're burdened by something that won't leave you. What if that burden is curiosity? That's not a bad thing, is it? I could let the curiosity sloth live on my back, maybe. Maybe because it wouldn't be breathing hard in my ear, it would be whispering things like, hey, look at over there, you were mentioning cycads. That might be one. Is it? It looks like a Sega palm. But now we have passed, and I might never know. But the sloth remembers part, and I remember part, and we can coordinate our stories later. Oh, I don't know where we are, friends, but I'm glad we're together. I'm a little bit frightened, to tell you the truth. I've never been in a place like this. And now we are in it, and we have to stay here until we can get out. That's what it's like. Go into the jungle together. With our curiosity and our ignorance, which is great. You should approach everything with a degree of ignorance, and you don't even have to plan for that because you have it. Let's say you're going to see an opera. So I'm going to see an opera with my grandfather, and he really wants me to learn a little bit about what it's about before I go. So you read about it and you read about the story and everything, and then you go and the opera is in Italian. So you don't understand what's really going on, and they start to sing, and it's beautiful, and you're moved by it, and it's amazing, and you're wrapped, your attention is wrapped, and I don't know what it's, I know the story, I read the story, I thought I know what I was seeing, but I guess I did the minimal amount of work. I did enough to have, to get rid of my fears, to say, all right, I'm going to go into this situation unafraid of my confusion, and then I will just be able to savor it. That happened with me. I just got back from Japan not long ago and saw some kabuki. I didn't know what was going on. Even though I've read about the different kabuki stories and history, I didn't tell you what they were saying. I didn't know what all the moves meant. And there is a tradition in kabuki where sometimes if the actor has struck a really fantastic pose, all right, you'll yell out his family name because there's lineages. So people have, like, I'd be Hardy White 7 or something like that. So they yell out, White, at the right time. I don't know when to do that, but it doesn't diminish my appreciation. Oh, maybe I'm like the monkey that they take along on these jungle expeditions. Maybe I'm just there to be scared and to cling to those who I think have the answers. And we haven't seen any dinosaurs yet, but that doesn't mean they don't exist. The things I have experienced, I experienced farther along. Well, I don't know, Hardy. Hey, it's too late to turn back. You're almost halfway there. Once you're halfway there, it takes just as long to get back as it does to get there. So if you're halfway there, you might as well get to the end. I say that about your life, too. Oh, my friends, I know sometimes things are discouraging. Let's just keep going, you and I. Let's just keep going. I mean, there's going to be an end to it eventually, right? Let's just keep going, you and I. The things we'll see. Even when we're scared, maybe it'll be exciting. And so we look up into the sky, and what do we see? I don't know. Some sort of ape man on a cliff. That is both scary and fascinating. And the ape men on the cliff are being menaced by a pterosaur. Is that what they're called? Like a pterodactyl they used to call it? Again, they change the names of things, but the thing itself doesn't change. So if I was to come up next week and say, I'm no longer Hardy White, that was a misnomer, I'm not Hardy, I'm, what am I, good enough, frail, not quite frail, average white, that's a band, I don't know what I am. But I have to, let's say I have to change my name. I haven't changed, just the thing you call me. Oh, we know the pterodactyl is there. If we see the pterodactyl of Hardy's heart, perhaps the dinosaurs of Hardy's lost world also exist. Perhaps we can make that assumption. If I tell you one thing is true, maybe everything I say is true. Oh, you know that can't be. That can't be. If I come up to you, this happened to me not long ago. I was, the sun was about to go down, and I was looking up at the sun with my binoculars. No, that is not true. I was looking up at ape men on a cliff. I was just walking through my neighborhood, and we have these sheer cliffs, and I was walking along, and the car pulled up, and the car said, do you know where Baptist Hospital is? And I said, oh my gosh, yes, I do. And I gave them very good directions to the Catholic hospital. And I did not realize that until they pulled away. And then I thought, oh no, what have I done? Where have I led them? I thought I knew. And when I told them, I was telling them what I thought was true and with great enthusiasm because I felt that I was being helpful. I'm doing something necessary. I'm helping these people. I was already giving myself all sorts of awards. I was going to tell people how these people needed to get to the hospital, and I was there, and I helped in my little way. Cross the log bridge with me, won't you? Cross the log bridge with me, and let's try to get to where we saw those scary ape men. Say, but I'd prefer to... Oh, don't faint. Oh, you're about to faint on the log bridge. No, no, no. No, 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 no. Don't lose your nerve now. Don't look down. Keep going. Don't look down and think about the consequences. Keep going. We don't want you to fall. And you go across the log bridge and you make it to the other side, and it doesn't mean there's less peril. It just means there's different kinds of peril. But now you've accomplished something. Oh, the ape men lurk. The ape men lurk in the shadows. They lurk in the shadows with their own monkeys. Yes, ape men also have pet monkeys. That's a bit weird. I think that we saw that in Disney where Goofy and Pluto, they're both dogs, you know, but one is a pet. I don't understand how that works. I'm not the first to point that out either. Oh, everything is old. Everything is old and won't necessarily be new again. And the real living dinosaurs do lurk somewhere. But they lurk somewhere where most people can't get to them. And so they are safe. And then when we go tell people about it, it's almost pointless. Because they're never going to see them. And what matters is that we get to explore. We get to walk in this world. We get to watch this thing that seems like a monster that we have only read about. We've only seen its bones, this Brontosaurus. We have only seen its vertebrae. We've only seen it reassembled with wire and glue and stuck in a museum, in a great temple to learning. That's all we see. But seeing it alive, oh, it no longer is a monument. It no longer seems like a statue. It no longer seems as grand. But it does seem alive. It does seem real, like it's having a little life of its own. And as old as those bones are, you can say, oh, look, these bones are millions of years old. The dinosaur didn't live for a million years. It only lived for a little short time, a little lifetime like we live. It had its experience. It was afraid of things. It loved, maybe, or at least it nurtured. You have to be able to do that to have offspring. And it had offspring. And I'm sure it had fear. And I'm sure it had something approaching joy, like when you get a particularly sweet cycad. Oh, yes. We can't experience that. But we are our own dinosaurs. We're prisoners, sometimes, of these dinosaurs. Because, let's say they have demolished our crude log bridge. Remember that log I told you it fell in the forest with the raccoon on it? What if that was our only way to get out of here? What if we are stuck now, seemingly, in this place that we went to explore? Our curiosity has drawn us like a cat into fatal danger. I don't know. We'll have to wait. We'll wait for the sun to come up again. A new day will make us feel better. We'll see things in clearer light. Oh, there's nothing in the dark that isn't scary. So perhaps if we stick it out, and maybe by the light of the sun or a very bright full moon, we can get a better idea of what's going on. Look at ourselves and our fears. Try to figure out what is driving us, this curiosity, this need to prove ourselves. It's not enough that we know that ape men and dinosaurs still exist, but everybody else must know too, so that we can be thought to be successful challengers and not fools who are following their folly or who are easily deceived. You know, when something happens to somebody, they have some kind of experience or mystical or anything, I never challenge it. I don't know. Maybe not true, maybe is true, but it doesn't mean they didn't feel it. You know? So they're calculating that into their reality. So if someone says, I've seen a vision, you know, I can't say otherwise. And you're probably living your life as if that vision was a true thing. And so therefore, I must sort of accept that. Because if I discount it and I just think you a fool, I'm going to miss other truths that you have to offer. So maybe if we explore things together and that we can be disabused of our false beliefs together, it won't feel as bad. Because sometimes we believe something that's wrong and then someone points it out. The alternative is to feel so bad and diminished that you would rather believe the thing that is false. You don't want to believe it. Because, man, I was adamant about there not being any dinosaurs. And now here I am about to watch a T-Rex and a other thingy bite each other's necks. And you could say, well, maybe they're not really real. You know, maybe it just looks real. And we're over here. Maybe we think those dinosaurs are far away. Maybe they're really close and really small. And we're confused. Maybe there's some sort of animator moving them, and we're just blinking our eyes at the right speed so that we miss the hands of the animator. Blink, 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 blink. Blinking is the basis of movies. Blinking is the basis of things that require some sort of continuity of image. So what you're seeing is flickers when you watch movies. Just flickers, you know that. A series of still images, one right after the other. But what happens between the still images? There's still more, an infinite amount of information and movement between those frames. We'll never know what's really going on. So when we see it, by the time we see it, all the hands of the animators have been edited out, all the microphone booms that have intruded into the shot, except in silent films, have been edited out, all the mistakes are gone. And it's been presented to us as a cohesive story. But is it? This thing that we accept, this reality we accept, what's it really about? Oh, in my mind there is a mama and a baby triceratops just eating and everything. And the mama scoots the little baby in the butt with her horn. That didn't sound right. But, you know, and gives a little nudge to get it out of the way because it senses fear because there's a predator coming. Now, this mama triceratops, she can take care of things because she has upon her head bony outgrowths. And the bony outgrowths are there for defensive purposes. And so when this predator comes to eat her baby, she will have none of it. And though she is frightened, and though she is scared herself, she finds a ferocity. And she successfully defends her baby. Now you can say, well, that was pointless because, you know, eventually the dinosaurs disappeared. Yeah, but that mama and baby, they had a life. They might not have known the future, that eventually there would be none of their kind. We probably will suffer the same fate. Oh, what are those glowing eyes in the dark, we ask. There's nothing worse. It's coming after us. Oh, it's a dinosaur. We were looking for them. We thought they didn't exist. And now we are absolutely lousy with them. We have so many of them that they are a nuisance. Can you believe that we went looking for these things that now plague us, that now follow us and attack us? We are now a victim of our own urge to learn more. And that's okay. We're not victims. It's just the consequence of reality. And when you open your eyes, you want to see the real thing. You see all of the real thing. And it isn't what you thought it was. And it is dangerous. And it is confusing. And it is fearful. But it seems less so when we have each other. When there is a rich man with an ascot standing behind me with a rifle, or there is a reporter going, yeah, duck or get down or something, I feel a little more comforted. And there's nothing that a pith helmet won't stop. So now we have to deal with our own ancestors, the ape men, so-called. And they exist too. And maybe our vision of them is completely wrong, you know, as we look back and we recreate them in our own image, we get a lot of things wrong because we only have their bones. So if we were encountered them in real life, if we were to find the lost world of our predecessors, who knows what they would tell us? And maybe they could tell us something. They would say, we have a sophisticated language, even though our brains indicate that perhaps we don't have the necessary biological, physiological components for speech. We did have speech. And we did have a language. And we said things. And we spoke poetry to one another. There was no ordinary conversation. There were only lofty poems, verse. We would spout verse to one another when we were hungry or in danger or fearful or in love. Poetry would fall from our lips. We are no brutes. We loved, we lived, we failed, we succeeded. All out of your experience and eyesight. But we went on regardless. And when you saw remnants of what we had done, you made assumptions. You could not feel what we felt. We didn't write our language down. And maybe it would have been helpful. Maybe art is a way of conveying that. Maybe you are feeling a little bit of what I'm feeling. This is what I'm feeling. When I look at something like a dark film or something I can't quite see, or I'm straining my eyes, they're thirsty for light. My eyes are thirsty for light in the darkness. So if I'm looking at something dimly lit, a dimly lit art exhibition or a dimly lit film, I grab on, I cling to what light I do see, and I try to make it into some image that I can interpret. Who is that? Who is that old guy who drops his H's? I have a idea. After supper, bring back all those Amex. Say, I'm so sorry, sir. You shouldn't bring a Cockney individual, I suppose, when you explore the forest. You say, I'm going to give you some H's, and I just want you to save them and use them while you're with me. And that way, we'll be able to understand each other. And then, when you get home, you can take all those H's that I gave you and just drop them right there on the sidewalk. We don't need them anymore. Certain skills I thought I would never need and don't have are necessary in some situations. For instance, shimmying up a pole, shimmying up a sapling so you can arch it down and make some sort of slingshot thing to kill dinosaurs. I'm not very good at that. And so in a way, I don't want to know what's going on in a lost world. In a way, I don't want to have to make a weapon to kill monstrous beasts. If I don't find the monstrous beasts, then I will never have that challenge. But gosh, you know, might be kind of fun inventing a new weapon. That's kind of interesting to me. Don't get on it, though. Don't think you can get on the top of the giant slingshot and sling yourself into the dinosaur, hit it with a knife, slide down its neck. That's probably not a good plan. So maybe a rock. So you release the tree and with terrific force, and it will hurl the rock through the air. Hit the dinosaur. Now, why do you want to kill these things that you sought out? People do that. Find a truth. I'm going to find something out about you. And then I'm going to destroy it. That doesn't make sense. Do you want to know the truth? If you want to know it, if you want to know reality, if you want to know the world, then part of it is accepting the things you see, even knowing that you don't have the whole picture. At least accept what you feel and what you're seeing. It's the pith helmet. The pith helmet makes you seem like you don't belong. A pith helmet is a way of saying, I am a stranger in the jungle. It's a way of saying, I've never been here, so I don't know what's going to fall on my head. If you were to come to my house and we go out in the backyard at a certain time of the year, I would say to you, oh, be very careful. Are you from here? And you'd say, no, I'm not. And I would say, I would like you to meet my little friend, the black walnut. And you would say, what? And then one would hit you on the head and you'd say, ow, good God. I said, that's a black walnut, and they're bigger than golf balls, and they're going to fall and hit you on the head if you're sitting under the black walnut tree at just the right time of year. And then you say, I should have bought my pith helmet. And I would say, no, they make everybody look stupid. Don't do that. But I think you can use them for a couple of things. The one they call them pith helmet is because it can carry water and even be used as a toilet. Did you know that? Might not be where the name comes from. I'm not exactly sure. Oh, have we lost anybody expedition? I almost said exhibition. Is there a difference between an expedition and an exhibition? So for instance, if there is an art show in the woods, which is that? Is it both? I don't know. And there is. Every jungle has a special art show. You say, what is the visiting Is there anything, are we visiting from other areas? And you say, yes, there are invasive exotics are just like paintings that have been taken from the Tate Gallery and moved to the High Museum in Atlanta. Say, I'm going to take one of these pre-Raphaelite paintings, like a Burne Jones or something, and I'm going to move it over from the Tate Gallery in London to Atlanta's High Museum. And that's exactly what kudzu is. So if you go into a jungle, you go into a forest, that forest is an art gallery, and some of the art is indigenous, and some of it comes from over the seas. Sometimes it's been influenced by other art. It's like, oh, look at that. Those French impressionists must have seen Japanese woodcuts. Yes, now you know. We are together looking at Japanese woodcuts in the woods, in the 1920s, in prehistory. We are all those places at once. Oh, yes, we're in dinosaur times. We're in the beginning of the 20th century. We're at the beginning of the 21st century. We're all those places at once, friends. This is thrilling to me. I'm excited and afraid at the same time. But are we lost here? Have I taken you somewhere from which there's no exit? Do we now live here in the jungle? Are we now lost, just as the world is lost? Say, Hardy, you lost me. I don't think I did. I think you're right there with me. I think the experience of not knowing what's going on is universal. And I think if you know what's going on, if you think you do, you're going to miss something. Driving down the road, you think you know what all the places look like. This has happened to me. I was driving down High Street, but not High Street, Limestone. And I hadn't been down there in months on this section of road. And I know this sounds crazy, but they had torn down a McDonald's and in its place built a McDonald's. And I thought I knew what was going on. And someone said, did you notice that they tore down the old McDonald's and built a new one? And I said, no. And so then I drove down there. And gosh darn, that's exactly what they did. And I hadn't noticed it. And I think I had been down there since they'd built it. So what? I just didn't see them building it, you know, or tearing it down. I'm not looking anymore. I think I know. I think I know what's going on, so I've stopped paying attention. You might think you've, especially as you get older, boy, it's hard to say to yourself, maybe I don't understand the world. You know, I'm here, I am getting to the end, and I feel like I haven't learned anything, I don't know anything, and there's young people around me, and they seem to have things figured out, and I'm supposed to have it figured out, so perhaps I should pretend I know what's going on. And so you become confident. You become confident in what you know. You say, man, I've been alive long enough. I think I know how to drive. I think I know how politics works. I think I know all about this religion stuff. I think I know about relationships. I've been here a long time. You don't know anything. Nobody does. Everything keeps changing. Your ability to understand is limited. You don't have a handle on what's going on. Oh, my gosh, you don't. And the more you think you do, the less you're going to see. If you're sitting in a class and you think everything coming out of the professor's mouth is knowledge that you already know, you are not going to pay attention. And should something come out of the professor's mouth which is new to you, which is novel, or which is important, you will ignore it. You will not hear it. Oh, you don't want that, do you? You don't want that. So it's easy. Say, I'm going to turn off Hardy right now, and I'm going to go listen to like a podcast about ceramics. It's very straightforward, and I'm going to learn something. And I applaud you. That's wonderful because you are learning. But if you were to switch it off and say, I'm going to switch it off, and then I'm going to go do something I always do, something routine, something that won't challenge or edify me, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say. I was putting out for you here a table. Let's say I am in the jungle. I'm in the jungle. You're walking around. You're looking for dinosaurs. And I have put out a small flea market table. The small flea market table is not themed. You see what I'm saying? So it's not just like I have my ashtray collection for the last 50 years. And, oh, it's all different stuff. It's just like I went into my attic and I pulled things out. I'm going, here, I have something. You might already have one. You probably have an adjustable wrench. Mm-hmm. But do you have a caponizing kit for castrating roosters? Say, no, I don't have that. So I have one. I'm super, super not going to use it. So I was wondering if you wanted that kind of thing. Now, not all the things that I give you or share with you are things that I don't want. Oh, no.
things that come from my heart, things when I talk about how you deal with sadness or loss or even how you handle joy or how you get along with people, all those things that I can share with you from my experience, they might be valuable. You might want to take them, but I'm going to keep them too. We can both have it. That's miraculous. Could you imagine that? Say, I've got a collection of baseball cards or coins or something, and say, I'm going to take your coin right here. And I say, go ahead and take it, because the minute you take it, I still have it. I know, and then we both have it. I don't know how that works, but now we both have a very valuable, rare coin. And you can't say that about much in the material world, but you can say that about knowledge, and you can say that about sharing feelings, and you can say that about art for the most part. When I give you something, I don't lose anything. I'm not diminished in any way. I am tired often, sometimes. And sometimes if I have expressed to you something that's deeply emotional, I'll be that special kind of tired. You go, oh, I think I've got nothing left. You know, when that happens. Oh, dinosaurs drop into the water. They drop off of cliffs. And the ones that are left sort of look in a forlorn way. They have had victory, but then again, they have had loss. I'm not sure. I looked away for a minute. I don't know what's happened, but the dinosaur is holding his head down. He seems sad. I don't know why the other dinosaur fell. Were they fighting? Were they friends? I wasn't really paying attention, and now everything has changed. And I don't know if the challenger understands this, but we've got a dead dinosaur. Is it still breathing? Oh, no. It seems tragic. Something that was so scary now seems so pathetic. Oh, my gosh. When the danger is taken out of something. Now, maybe that is the same brontosaurus in the museum. Maybe that's how he met his fate. He fell off a cliff fighting with another dinosaur. And he hit the bottom of a pond. Skipping millions of years go by, and they find his bones. And you can wonder what happened all day long, and you may never know. But you'll always remember the joy of finding those bones. I don't know how we're going to get off of this island. First of all, I got something to tell you. The story will always continue even after you're gone. So if we go to this lost world, and I'm describing the lost world to you, it will never come to an adequate conclusion. Did they get out of the jungle? Do they prove to people that dinosaurs are real? Has the reputation of those who would challenge the status quo, has it been redeemed? Do they, in the end, get to say, yes, I was right and you were wrong? We may never know, because we all leave the story in the middle of things. You never get to the end of it. And you can be curious and say, I wonder, I'm dying, but I wonder what's going to happen. I'm not going to see the next installment of my favorite movie. I always think that. I always, whenever the movies come out in those episode forms, serial forms, I think, oh no, I might never see the last movie. In a way, everything is a cliffhanger. Everything has got a sequel coming up that we'll never see. Every human being has a sequel coming up, a sequel human being. Every person that lives is Harry Potter 5. And every person who lives after that person is gone is Harry Potter 6 or 7. So they never really meet each other. But you need 5 before you can have 6 or 7. You need that. If you just go into John Wick 3, you don't know what's happening. What just happened? And when they talk about, oh, all this is because of a dog? It's like, what dog? What are they talking about? That's because you didn't see John Wick 1. And we all come in the now the future generations have, they can always look back. You know, but we can't look forward. Not really. We can guess at what's going to happen. And that's exciting. But we don't really know. Oh, a fire now consumes the jungle. We're all running for our lives. Will this lost world be truly lost? Can we find a place? Will you finally compose a piece of poetry that sums up everything about your experience? Will you make an exquisite piece of art? Prove to the world, yes, I told them I had it in me. I told them I was capable. I told them I could see with beautiful, clear eyesight. I told them that I could communicate things from my heart as if I was just exuding pure emotion, and it would go into other brains and other hearts, and they could feel what I'm feeling, and I have done that. I have made this perfect poem, and before anyone can see it, before you can read it or have it read, It's destroyed. It's gone forever. Did it happen? Was there ever a lost world? Was there ever a world to begin with? Oh, and do I have to prove it to you? If I had a beautiful dream or I had a beautiful vision, do I have to prove it to you? Part of me, I guess, wants to, or I wouldn't take you places. I wouldn't say, friend, come with me. I'm going to go somewhere strange and exotic, and I want you to come with me. I'm going to be hanging off of cliffs with monkey men. I'm going to be swinging from vines like a spider monkey. And the spider monkey, whose real name is Jocko. Jocko, the monkey. I'm going to take you a place where we will be in danger, but we'll get out because we're sticking together. Not all of us get out, I think. Some of us. I'm going to take you to those exotic places with me, and you might find something you need. But when we leave, they might be gone. There might be no proof. Is that okay? I know this has happened to me before. Say somebody say, I spent time with Hardy, and he really touched me, and he said something, and somebody else will listen and say, man, I didn't hear that. You know, I heard noise. You got to accept that. That's the way all our relationships are, too. You know, that's why connections are so beautiful, because they're rare. You know, not every time you put your heart out there is it accepted. So when someone does, when we make friendships or we make any kind of connection, oh my gosh, I'm so grateful for that. I try not to take it for granted. I try to understand that if you give me a small amount of your attention, you've given me a precious gift. You have a finite amount of time on this world. If you've given me an hour, well, I know you hope there's something that you'll get in return, and I'm trying. So you know it isn't that you've never been swindled there. But who knows if it'll connect? Who knows if it'll work this time? It's a Ouija board. It depends on how much we're willing to delude ourselves. But in that self-delusion, there can be magic. And that's what I'm hoping for. I'm hoping for we're going to climb down a rope ladder away from the monkeys, away from Monkey Cave. And I don't know if we'll all make it. I'm feeling like the rich man is not going to quite make it. So you get on that ladder. Not all of us can survive. We all perish, but we all perish at different times, as you know, and that's inconvenient and sad. But for the most part, I think that we'll make it back to where we came from. And we're about to get back. But like I said, the story's not over. And my voice is going to end, and you might see a little more after that. A little more might happen, and I'm sure it will. And I'll know in my heart that it did. And I know in my heart that you're listening and watching. I'm so grateful for you. I want to help you. I want to put down this. I'm not going to tell you what to do. I'm just like a rope ladder guy. So here's how we get away from the fanged ape men. Oh, and I'm afraid there's going to be one last catastrophe that happens. That someone's going to get attacked by this brute from the past, by our darker selves are going to take over before the thing can set in, before we get back and give our information. There's going to be some last attack on the truth. There's going to be some last attack on our humanity. And we might not make it down this rope ladder. We came all this way. That does not diminish our experience. We still have it. It's still important. Oh, the monkey man is pulling us up towards the cave. No, our friends are on the other end of the rope ladder pulling us down. Please, I don't want to go back up there. I want to live. I want to survive. I want to be with my friends. And no, the monkey man is pulling us back up into the cave as we swing helplessly from a rope ladder. Oh, I pray to you for a great outcome. I do not want to go this way. I want to get down. I want to go home. My curiosity has been satisfied. A shot rings out. The monkey man perishes. The rope ladder is released. And our friend, though he plunges, is caught just before the end and survives. Oh, yeah. That's the way it is. And even though it's not over, it's over now for you and I for a while. It's over for a little while. And I hope it continues again, because you're listening to WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, 91.9 in New York City and Rockland County, New York, and online at WFMU.org. Thank you so much for listening, and I will see you again next week. Laughs.
Oh, yeah.
That's the way it is. And even though it's not over, it's over now for you and I for a while.
I was standing.
Every day of my life,
I promise.
with the voice of an angel. If you preach like Peter and Paul, if you don't love one another, it doesn't mean nothing at all. If you give to help others, if you visit the sick and the maimed, oh Lord, if you don't love one another, oh Lord, it's all done in vain. You can be sweet as honey, own property, and have a lot of money. Your pathway may seem oh so sunny. Without love, it's all in vain. It will be oh so sad, church to find we've wasted our time. We have got to love one another. God says we're sisters and brothers. Oh Lord, yes we
Sometimes you just don't know. There's no way of finding out. Reverend Butler and the Religious Five. Yeah. Keys to God's Kingdom.